Let the church say amen. The Lord be with you. And the Lord prosper the word in your heart, in your life, in Jesus' name. The teaching of the word will fall into fertile ground in every heart tonight. Here and everywhere we are connected with the teaching of the word. Amen. Amen now. Amen. Father, we thank you and love you. Thank you for these years of studying the Bible every Monday evening. And we thank you because the continuity, the constancy of the study of the word has not made its tale in our hearts still fresh every time. And we pray that tonight the freshness of the word will bring fresh experience of the power of the word in every life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another good amen. Amen. We're coming to our study tonight in Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, look at verse 12. In verse 12, it says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods, all the idols of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. In verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token, for a sign upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague, and the judgment, and the punishment shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. As we continue a study in the book of Exodus, and we come to this chapter 12. This chapter 12 is very significant, very important in the revelation of the word of God. It's talking about redemption. Everything before Exodus was pointing to the fact that God will redeem his people. And as you come to chapter 12, it shows us very clearly the plan of redemption, the power for redemption, and the people that experienced the redemption of the Lord. Going on from this chapter 12, on and on, it shows the beneficiaries and the benefits they have in the redemption of the Lord. And actually, as you come to the next book of the Bible, it still shows these people that were redeemed of the Lord. They had tasted the redemption of the Lord and the lives they were to live and the devotion they were to have unto God in all the sacrifices and offerings they were bringing. Everything was tabled out. And you come to the next book, Numbers, again is still reminding us of what the redemption had done for them and what now were their responsibilities, and the last of the Pentateuch, which is Deuteronomy, is repeating unto them the laws of God, the ways of God, based on the redemption that the Lord had effected in this chapter 12 of Exodus. And as you continue, every time you're looking back to the Passover, you're looking back to what the Lord did for the children of Israel in this chapter of Exodus. Coming on to the New Testament, you have the fulfillment of the redemption by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he's referred to in the epistles as the Passover lamb that has sacrificed his blood. And it is through the sinless blood and the blameless blood and the spotless blood were redeemed. Everything takes root from this Exodus chapter 12. That the reason why the study of Exodus 12 is very important and pivotal in our understanding of the very purpose and plan of God in dealing with humanity. Today our topic is perfect redemption through the blood of the blameless lamb, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb. He gives us perfect redemption because he himself is without blemish and without blame and without spot. And the blood that is shed is spotless blood. The blood he shed is the perfect blood of the perfect Lamb of God. Gives us full redemption, total redemption, complete redemption, perpetual redemption that leads us into eternity. It's actually referred to as the eternal redemption. Three things we're looking at today. Number one, the new beginning through the spotless lamb. Number two is the national bond with the substitutionary lamb. Number three, we have the never failing blood of the saving, sanctifying lamb. Number one is the new beginning through the spotless lamb. We're told in Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 1, it tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It actually changed their calendar. They had been going on for the calendar of Egypt before this time, but now we are to become a new nation, born by the Lord himself and born by the blood of the Lamb. Because of that, they were to be a separate nation that the Lord will call out of the nation of Egypt. Everything about Israel was now to be totally different. They were to have a new calendar, the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the month, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, a lamb for an house. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, even every man according to his eating. It says, shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, in verse 5 it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. The lamb, in their own case, an animal, but it will be without blemish. Blemish within and blemish without. Blemish inside and blemish outside was not to be allowed. They will choose a blameless lamb. They will choose a lamb without any defect at all. And it says, a male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. In verse 6 it says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And for you to understand that this kind of passage or redemption is not standing in isolation, it's showing, is pointing us to the Lamb that will come. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the whole world. That's the reason we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 18. 1 Peter 1 verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Which means then, what we read, what we study, what we learn in Exodus chapter 12 is pointing to the Lamb to come, the perfect one, Christ, the spotless one, the blameless one, the one that has no blemish at all. And it's the blood of that Lamb of Christ that now brings us redemption. Now, point number one here, the new beginning through the spotless Lamb. We're looking at three things. Number one, the new beginning of the new nation. Number two, is the new birthday and their notable nourishment. Number three is the newly begotten with a new nature. That's for the children of Israel. It's also for us. Look at number one. Number one, the new beginning of the new nation. In chapter 13 of Exodus. Exodus chapter 13, reading from verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in the which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand, the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, this day came ye out in the month Abib. Which means then, this became the very beginning of that nation. This important day of redemption, the day they were ransomed, the way they were purchased, the way they were taken, the day they were taken out of the land of bondage, they became a new nation. Look at the New Testament now and see how that applies to us as individuals, as believers and as the church of the living God. 1 Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, talking to the church, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. You see, the church is a nation within another nation. The church is regarded as a nation, a holy nation, because we are born again, because we are bought by the precious blood of the Lamb, because we had a new beginning by the blood of the Lamb. And it says it's an holy nation, a peculiar people, just like Israel was peculiarly different from Egypt. So the church, every believer in the church, every Christian in the church, every follower of Christ becomes peculiarly different from the world. We're different in our thoughts, we're different in our mind, we're different in our spirit, we're different in our attitude, we're different in our disposition, we're different in our character. We're peculiar. It says, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness, out of the bondage of the darkness of the world. He called us out, and we responded by repenting and believing in the blood of the Lamb. And it says he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I pray that will be a definite evidential experience of every one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Number two, the new birthday and their notable nourishment. We're told in Exodus chapter 12, verses 2 to 5, tell us about the new date for them, new calendar for them. And they had, this was to be the birthday of the children of Israel as a nation. And now we look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. Exodus chapter 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh of the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it for their health, so that they'll become healthy, they become strong, without any disease at all. They are to feed on the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb gave them salvation and security. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood of the body of the Lamb gave them food to eat, the bread, and it was to strengthen them. That's why the word of God says he brought them out, and there was not one feeble person among all their tribes, because it kept them strong. And they were not to eat leaven, they were not to eat anything that symbolized evil, that symbolized sin, that symbolized the evil lifestyle of Egypt. We're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 7. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, as we are born again, as we are saved, and our lives are transformed by the efficacious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, following after the instruction that God gave to the children of Israel, now he gives us the instruction for New Testament believers. And it says, purge out, blot out, take out, erase completely, take away everything that is of the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Christ, our Passover. Now, as we believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when I see that blood, no more upon the lintels of houses, but upon our heart, as he sees that blood, that you believe in that blood, you have confidence in that blood, you trust that it is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Christ and Christ alone, that has provided you salvation, because there is no other name given among men under heaven by which we can be saved except the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come to the Father, no man can claim that God is his Father except through Jesus Christ, because we believe in the blood that is shed for us. And it says, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, the fellowship, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. That tells us what leaven symbolizes, what leaven represents. It represents malice, represents anger, represents animosity, represents hatred, and it says, and wickedness. Therefore, leaven represents iniquity, sin, depravity, and all those evil things. And it says, like the children of Israel were to search out and to remove and take away every form of leaven from their houses, with you now that we apply the blood of the Lamb upon our heart, we make sure that there is no malice, no wickedness, there's no hatred, there's no evil, there is no animosity, there's no unforgiving spirit, and there is no iniquity. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, as we're saved, sincerity characterizes our lives. Honesty characterizes our lives. Faithfulness characterizes our lives. And truth, truthfulness, the plain truth, the truth coming from the heart. There's no deception anymore. And there is no lying anymore, because the blood of Jesus has cleansed all that away. We're coming back to Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 15. Exodus 12, 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. The seven there represents a complete cycle. 7 days of the week. And once you finish that cycle, another 7 days is another complete cycle. Actually, life, no matter what number of years, goes on in that complete cycle of seven. 7 days, the circle is completed. Another 7 days, the circle is completed. On and on. It's showing us seven as a number for perfection, a number for completeness, a number for fulfillment. that says, for every complete cycle of life, ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day, ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That means, yes, they were under the covering, the protection of the blood, but while they were inside the house that the blood had been applied, they must not have leaven as part of what they eat. And the same thing, the blood of the Lamb keeps us saved and secured in the kingdom of God. Yet we understand that we're not to allow leaven in our hearts, the leaven of malice, the leaven of anger, the leaven of animosity, the leaven of hatred, the leaven of maliciousness between our people, or the leaven of wickedness, the leaven of cruelty, the leaven of violence, and the leaven of hurting other people. All that will not be allowed in our lives. So it's not enough to say, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, blood of Jesus, I'm under the blood, and because of that, I'm safe and secured. Yes, it's the blood, but it cleanses us from sin. Look at number three. Number three is the newly begotten with a new nature. Newly begotten, and then it grants us a new nature. In Isaiah chapter 66, reading from verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born? A nation be born at once, the birth of a nation. A nation be born for, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Born, newly born. And the newly born will have a new nature. Ezekiel 36, reading from verse 25. Ezekiel 36, 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Remember, this is Ezekiel. Remember, this is hundreds of years after Exodus, that the cleansing of the blood, the covering of the blood of the Lamb for that generation in Exodus was not enough for the children of Israel in their generations. They must still come to believe in the Lord and trust in the Lord, and the Lord must still wash them. He must still cleanse them. He must still purge them from all iniquity. The same thing as we think about ourselves. The church continues, but the salvation of the church in the first century is not enough for the salvation of the church in the 21st century. And the salvation of the church in the previous generation, that's not enough for the salvation of the church in this generation. Every generation must take part in the faith that gets us born again. And the salvation of the fathers, the salvation of the parents will not be enough for the children. Everyone must still come in his own faith, repenting and believing on the Lord so that they can be saved. So the Lord telling the people in the days of Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. And it says, from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. In verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, a new heart, a new nature, the new nature that those worthies of old had was not enough or sufficient for the new generation. And a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again. What was done for the people at the time of Ezekiel is not enough for the new generation that have been born. And it's not enough for the people who are living today. Everyone must come individually, repent individually, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ individually, and the sins be blotted out individually. Have a definite experience of coming to the Lord, believing in the blood that was shed. And if you have not done that, you have the chance today, you have the privilege today, that you repent, you turn away from sin, and you believe on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you are begotten again. That's why it says, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, in verse 4 it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have manifested trust, confidence, and faith in the blood of the Lamb that was shed for you personally and individually, and you remain under the safety and the security of that blood of the Lamb, it says you remain like that until you get to the great beyond. That inheritance is reserved for you in heaven. In verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, final salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're coming to point number 2 now. Point number 2 is the national bond, national connection, national interpenetration. I in you and you in me. His word abiding in you, his nature abiding in you, the affection, the fellowship, the interaction, the connection, national bond with the substitutionary Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, we're reading from verse 6. Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. That is, you keep that lamb. You are choosing that lamb on the 10th day. and is without blemish, and you keep it until the 14th day, watching it and looking at it to make sure really that there is no blemish. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. The lamb will be in them, while the blood of the lamb will be on the lintel and on the two side posts. Then in verse 8, it says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, that is, eat the lamb, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it with bitter herbs. I'm sure you know there are some vegetables that have bitter taste, and we're told the bitter taste actually makes them to have healing power. And the same thing, they are not to go for sugary things, as they were taking the meat of the lamb, and they were not to go for leaven that will spread the dough, but they'll eat it with unleavened bread, and they'll eat it with bitter herbs. In verse 9 says, eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the portions thereof. Verse 10, and ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. Then it says, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded. You put on your belt, your shoes on your feet, get ready as if you are ready to travel. Because if you are coming out of Egypt and you are going out so that you can serve the Lord, you must make up your mind you are now pilgrims and strangers. And anytime you are ready to go forth, anytime you are ready to go out, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. We're looking at three things here. Number one, the feeding on the lamb for strength. Number two, forsaking all leaven from all sources. Number three, following the Lord of life in his steps. Number one, feeding on the lamb for strength. Already we've read Exodus chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And the Lord said in John chapter 6, we're looking at verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. The Jews didn't understand that language. I am the bread of life. And the Lord was just revealing to them like the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 12, like they took the bread and they took the flesh of the lamb. So they too must take his flesh. They understood that literally. They forgot that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh. He is the Word personified. And as you take his Word, you are taking him. You are receiving him. That's why he eventually explained to them in verse 63. Look at verse 63. It says, it is the spirit, the quickness that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The word became flesh. So when he said, except you take the flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you have no life in you, it just meant you take my word. His word is identified with him, and he is identified with his word. The flesh profits nothing, but it is the word that gives us the life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, the ideas of men, the opinion of men, the ideologies or philosophies of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And as we take that word, we feed on that word, we're feeding on the Lamb, and we're feeding to have strength, spiritual strength, spiritual stamina, and spiritual power through the word identified with him that we feed on. Number two now, number two, forsaking all leaven from all sources. Forsaking all leaven from all sources. Already we've read Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 and 15. Forsake all leaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, reading from verse 6, your glorying is not good, don't you know? A little leaven, a little malice, a little wickedness, a little hatred, a little anger, a little unforgiving spirit, a little violence, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Take away therefore all the leaven, so that we forsake all leaven from all sources. Matthew chapter 16, we're reading from verse 6. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 12. In verse 12, then understood they how that he bid them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the leaven of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. We're not to allow false doctrine. We stay under the token, the sign, the symbol of the blood of the Lamb. And yet, we're not to allow false doctrine. We're not to allow the doctrine of Pharisees or the doctrine of the Sadducees or even the doctrine of the Herodians. We're to make sure that everything of leaven, of falsehood, of deception is taken away from the midst of the people of God. Number three now. Number three is following the Lord of life in his steps. Following. Because when the children of Israel ate the lamb and stayed under the blood of the lamb, they were to eat it in haste. Their staff in their hand, their shoes in their feet, as if they were ready any time to go forth and to go out. The same thing for us today. We're ready to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. First Peter chapter 2, reading from verse 21. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Ye should follow his steps. In what way? Verse 22. In verse 22, who did no sin? If we're following his steps with you, we do no sin. Neither was guile, lying, deception found in his mouth. If we are following his steps, neither will deception or lying be found in our mouth. Verse 23. In verse 23, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. If we're following his steps, when we're reviled, we don't revile back. When they throw mud at us, we don't splash mud on them. We don't retaliate. We don't revenge. When he suffered, he threatened not. We do not threaten when we suffer. We suffer abuse. We suffer misuse. We suffer indignations of people. We suffer the reproach of men. We do not reproach them back. They use bad vocabulary on us. We don't say, I know that you, the dictionary belongs to everyone, I can pick a bad word to you and throw back. No, we don't do that. We're following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told that, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. We commit our honor into the hands of the Lord. Do you know what they are writing about you? Do you know what they are saying about you? They dishonor you. They put your name in the mud. Yes, we know. Sometimes we hear some of those things and read some of those things, but we commit our honor into the hands of God. We commit our self-esteem into the hands of God. We commit exaltation into the hands of God. Whatever people write, whatever people say, we're able to commit our life, our past, our present, our future into the hands of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 14, we're looking at verse 4. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4. These are they that were not defiled with women. No immorality, no fornication, no adultery, no sodomy, no lesbianism, nothing of the work of the flesh, no uncleanness, no filthiness. It says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins spiritually. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile. We're following after the footsteps of the Lord, for they are without fault before the throne of God. We'll come to point number three now. Point number three, we're looking at the never-failing blood of the saving, sanctifying Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, reading from verse 12. Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Verse 13. In verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token, for a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague, the punishment, shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the preservation in redemption under the applied blood. Number two is purity with righteousness through the appropriated blood. Number three, power to reign through the atoning blood. Number one is the preservation in redemption under the applied blood. Already we've learned from Exodus chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. When I see the blood, understand, you are to kill the lamb and take the blood into a basin, and then use the hyssop deep into that blood and apply the blood on the lintel of the houses. It is not when I see the blood in the basin. No, you must personally apply the blood on the house where you dwell, and you must stay there. And so it is not just that, okay, Jesus has shed his blood, and because he has shed his blood, I'm all right. You must have a personal application by faith. You believe in that blood personally. That is what brings the salvation unto you. In Romans chapter 3, reading from verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Egyptians had sinned and the Israelites had sinned. The difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites is that the Egyptians did not apply the blood of the Lamb, but the Israelites applied the blood of the Lamb. Although all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the people, those sinners that applied the blood, and they believed what God had told Moses, and Moses had told them, they believed that and they took action and they applied the blood. That's why they were saved. Verse 24, in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 25. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in his blood. You apply that blood by believing that that blood is sufficient, and that blood is the means of your salvation, is the applied blood. You have that faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission, for the cleansing, for the blotting out of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Apply the blood of the Lamb, and the application of the blood by faith grants you redemption, remission, blotting out of sin, grants you salvation. Look at number two. Number two is the purity with righteousness through the appropriated blood. You appropriate the blood of the Lamb. It's not just that, well, generally, we know that Christ has died, and we know that Christ shed his blood. Yes, you appropriate it for yourself. You tell the Lord, thank you, Father, that you sent your only begotten Son. He took my sin, he took my evil, he took my iniquity. Me personally, he died for me. He shed his blood for me. I believe, as you see that blood appropriated by me, I will not come under judgment anymore. That is what gives us the peace of God. It's what gives us pardon from God. It's what gives us purging, cleansing. It's what gives us purity, that now all our sins of the past are taken away, and he purifies us by the appropriated blood. Hebrews chapter 13, we're reading from verse 12. Hebrews 13, 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, purify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, that he might purify, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Look at the personal application, verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him. Unto him. Let's go unto him. You go personally unto him outside the camp, without the camp, bearing his reproach while he's dying there outside the camp. They're making jest of him. If you be the Christ, come down. He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the King of the Jews come down and will believe. That the reproach. And when they see you going to Christ, they might reproach you that same way. It is part of the reproach of Christ. But you don't mind that. You still appropriate the blood. The blood that cleanses. The blood that sanctifies. The blood that purifies. In this same chapter 13, look at verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood, you see that, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, the power to do his will, the mind to do his will, the ability to do his will, the consistency in doing his will comes through the blood of the everlasting covenant, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Number three now. Number three is the power to reign through the atoning blood. The blood has been shed and the blood atones for us. And now we reign through that cleansing and repositioning in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 5. We're reading from verse 9. Revelation chapter 5. Reading from verse 9. And this song, a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. We know that that atoning blood is sufficient for us. So we apply that blood by faith. We appropriate that blood by faith. And here on earth, you reign over every challenge of life in Jesus' name. And over every difficulty, you will reign in Jesus' name. Sin will not reign over you. You will reign and have dominion over the sin in Jesus' name. Sickness will not reign in your body. You will reign over that sickness in Jesus' name. Demons will not reign in your brain. Demons will not reign in your family. You will reign and have dominion over every evil spirit in Jesus' name. The powers of darkness will not reign over you. You will reign just by the applied blood of the Lamb, the appropriated blood of the Lamb, the atoning blood of the Lamb. You will have dominion in Jesus' name. In the day, dominion. In the night, dominion. And the things that conquered you before, from this night, you continue to conquer them. Let's rise up now. Applied blood, appropriated blood, atoning blood of the Lamb. You have everything in the blood of the Lamb. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord. Praise him, thank him, worship him. See what he has done, and he did that just for you. Let's pray, and the Lord answer your prayer.
Let's give thanks to the Lord for what we have done.